Morning. First of all, let's just pray again. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Help us, Lord, speak to us through your spirit. Let us cast aside everything, everything that holds us back and run to you. Oh, thank you for your word. We pray that through it we will move to you with speed. In Jesus' name. Amen. So what takes up no space, a riddle, what takes up no space but it occupies hearts and minds? No feet, but it will chase you. No hands, but it will choke you. What is it? What? Worry. Worry, 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 and worry some more. We know it well, right? Too well, I'm afraid. And even though Jesus left us his peace, we still do it. Because let's face it, sometimes it's hard not to. But why? Why? Is it because Jesus' peace isn't enough? No. When he promised his peace, he was also promising his Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is always freedom. He is always enough, more than enough. Bob, could you turn, I think my mic might be a little high. Could you turn, I think it would be the treble down on it just a little bit. Or is it because we're not stopping for batteries now, but thank you. Is it because we just can't help ourselves? I mean, we tell ourselves that, don't we? We say things like, well, it's just too much for me. Or if you only knew what I was going through. I'm just wired this way. Or it's the devil. He makes me do it. He won't leave me alone. And the truth is that all of those things may be partly true, but a half-truth is often little more than just a lie. And what we need here is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. And that is what brings us to his word. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Spoiler alert. Much of this sermon can be summed up with the one word at the very beginning of these verses. Let's read it together. Let. Stop right there. Let's read it again. Let. The main reason why the peace of Christ does not rule in our hearts is because we don't let it. Jesus is sufficient, and his Spirit is more than our worries. But so much is a matter of focus. Like Peter getting out of the boat, we take our eyes off of Jesus, and we sink like a stone. And please know, I do not say this lightly. I am a person who has struggled with anxiety in my life. I am a person who has more than once broken out in hives head to foot, overnight, simply from worry. So please know, I'm not saying this. I'm not just preaching. The one thing that I have seen that God has done for me as I have let him in is give me more peace. It's, if you were to look at, you know, the before and after, and you, all of us, as you walk with Jesus, you can see things. Wait a minute, I'm making progress in this area. I'm not there yet. I'm not where I need to be. But wait a minute. There's, you know, things are getting better. For me, this has been one of those areas. And the only way we can walk on the waters of worry, hence the picture on the front of the bulletin this morning, is to let him rule in our hearts and minds. Still, we try to wiggle out of it. Easy for Paul to say, right? Well, not exactly. I mean, these words were written between AD 60 and 62. And who was emperor then? Good old Nero, you know him. He himself had a few issues, among them dipping Christians in tar and lighting them in his streets to send a message, blaming them for the burning of Rome, which he, in all likelihood, himself initiated, so that he could have his own ambitious building projects. Christians were a scapegoat and an easy one. And Paul is just about to face him. Because Paul appealed to Caesar. Why did Paul appeal to Caesar? Because previously he had been asked, well, can we send you back to Jerusalem for trial? And that would have been a kangaroo court. So he really had no choice. And he says, okay, I'm going to Caesar. So to Caesar he goes. And who ends up as Caesar? Nero. And we know how it ended for Paul. But it's the fact that he's in that very place that makes it so powerful. Jesus' peace is even greater than the fear of being on death row at the mercy of a madman. Please, think about that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, Jesus' peace starts within and then works outward. You know, it's one of the things that I am so grateful for. You know, as a church with a name like Peace, we have a lot to live up to, right? Which is one of the reasons why we talk about this in our core values. And I'll just mention this. You know, for example, if you have a difference with someone, what do? According to our core values and the covenant we sign when we join the church, you go to that person directly. Why? Well, because that's what Scripture says you're to do. You don't take it out into the parking lot, right? And, I mean, that's one of the things that we're grateful for because, you know... Even though we may do this imperfectly, I mean, the truth is that if we believe this and if we practice it, we'll find it to be very, very real. So, when Jesus is there, truly there, you and I can be thankful because the Spirit of Christ and a critical spirit cannot occupy the same place. One or the other will prevail. To let Jesus' peace rule in your heart and life, you have to be thankful. The very opposite of a critical spirit. And notice how this theme of thankfulness works its way through. There it is in verse 15, be thankful. Verse 16, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father. And all of this is a matter of focus. Take a look. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. By the way, you know, again, as we come to the Lord's table, this acronym in Latin for us, it's not one you usually see in the church. You'll probably see it nowhere else. But what it means is Jesus is our peace. That's what it stands for. Because our goal as a church, more than anything else, is to just get people to the throne of grace. Just get them to Jesus. And as that happens, then we find amazing and beautiful help. But look at this matter of focus. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. It's a picture of savoring Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, helping each other in this. And the more that we do this, the more we do it, the more we learn to rest in him, the more his peace will fill us, both individually and together as a congregation. Jesus' peace means that we have peace with God forever and ever. No matter what people say about us, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, if we have confessed our sins to him and come to him, his goodness meets us, he cleanses us through his Spirit. And that peace with God is pervasive. It's related. In the Old Testament and New, the concept of peace in Jesus is related to the concept of shalom. And shalom is this far-reaching peace that permeates everything about our existence. Because if things are right with God, no matter what is wrong, everything's right. It is not an exaggeration to say that Jesus is to be everything to us. And verse 17 sums this matter of focus up. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now that's the goal, isn't it? And we're all living into that in one degree or another. Don't say that you've arrived, because if you have, we'll call you on it later. That's the admonishing part, by the way. But, you know, one can look at this whole promise of peace and say, well, you know, no. This is just who I am. I'll never be that way. But come on. Jesus' peace is either real or it isn't. It's either true or it's a lie. And the truth is, it is very, very real. The words of Mother Teresa are on point here. Years ago, I saw an article in Time magazine about Mother Teresa. It was an interview. And the funny thing about the article, I'm kind of one of those people who looks for different things like layout when I look at magazine articles. Funny thing about it was that the title of the article was A Pencil in the Hand of God. This was in the late 80s. A Pencil in the Hand of God. And there on the same page, they had this long sidebar ad for cross pens. I kid you not, okay? So somebody in the ad department was having fun, you know. But in that particular interview, she was asked what she thought of other faiths. And she said, "Oh, I love other religions. But I am in love with my own. And should others love Jesus too?" the reporter pressed. Mother Teresa responded gently, "Naturally. If they want joy, if they want peace, let them love Jesus too." It all comes back to him. It all comes down to this. Run your life and peace will slip through your fingers like sand. I know it. But give yourself to him. Love him. Try to love him. Live for him. And peace will tap you on the shoulder and meet you and walk with you through unexpected places, even dark ones. Please never forget that in the 23rd Psalm, those words, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Those words, that word, follow, in the Hebrew, it's an active word. And what it really can also be translated as is pursue. Run to him, and you will be pursued by peace. And not only that, you will be caught. And he will walk with you. He really will. All the way home. May we pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. That you really do surprise us. As G.K. Chesterton said, joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. Lord, thank you that you have overcome the world. Thank you that you loved us first. And so we can love you. Oh, help us in this. Lord, we do love you. Would you tell him that right now? And then would you tell him this? Lord, I receive your peace. and receive your peace. Because remember, he promised it. And he cannot lie. And in those places where you struggle, he knows. Show them to him even right now. Here it is, Lord. And if you're in a place right now where you're saying, hey, I really don't know him. I've never received him. Not like this. And he has brought you here this morning for this very reason. Do not doubt that. And you can come to him and say, yes, yes, Lord, I do receive you. What you did for me at the cross, I receive it. I ask you to forgive my sins. Take them away. Make me new in you. A new life. I want a new life in you. And where my faith falters, where it's small, I ask your help. I receive you. And know this. Again, this is a matter of let, right? Let the peace of Christ. Let him in. Let him in and you will not regret it. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue to quietly worship and pray as we sing.